Blog Talk Radio. Assalam alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. This is the Block Talk Radio Station coming out of California under the leadership of Brother Naeem, Brother Haimeen Muhammad.
Sponsored by
Sister Sarah Muhammad STEM School. Sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. Welcome, welcome to the Rock Talk Radio Station. Greet you again in the greatest greeting of all of the greetings in the world of Assalamu Alaikum. We welcome to you to the Rock Talk Radio Station. Welcome you to the Broad Talk Radio Station again. Here tonight, I'm Abdullah Akbar from Decatur, Georgia. My wife, Daya Akbar, is a co-worker, and Sujah Muhammad from LaGrange. Sujah Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Him and his wife, Karan Muhammad. And we also have Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Here we drop it back. And Imam Abdullah from Ibrahim Abdullah from Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, I got some names and stuff. I got a lot of people on the board. I'm about to get these people off so I can see who's on the board. And we'll see who's on the board. Okay, assalamu alaikum. We're here tonight, so we like to start out with a prayer called Al-Fatiha. It means to open. It means to open. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to open this up. So first we'll say a prayer called Al-Fatiha. First we'll say it in the Arabic language. Then we'll say it in the English translation. Humili shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. English translation. We seek protection from Allah, from Satan, the rejected enemy, the outcast. With the name of God, God is most gracious and God is most merciful. God is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. Thee alone do we worship and thy aid we seek. Allah, please always continue to show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast restored thy favors, and not of those who wrath is brought down, and not of those who go astray. I mean, well, I might have to erase some of this stuff off the board, and because I can't. So we're here tonight to talk about removing all the false image out of the world. You might say, why? But God said, don't make no image of him. Allah said, don't do that. And of course it have done that. Now, can't you see all the evil that have been produced from that lie? You know, graven image or any kind of image that's portrayed or connects itself with the creator of this creation is wrong. God has no need. God ain't sent nobody here to die for your sin. That don't even make sense. I don't see how long you got so many people can swallow a lie like that and hard to cure. There's some people will almost fight you and say, Jesus is God. A man is God. Don't they realize that they have become pagan? What is a pagan? A pagan is a person who worships stones and everything else. Huh? Love lies. So pagan, religion, and that's what it is. But they want to say we come from a voodoo religion. But that's what Satan is. He always want to turn the light off himself and put it on somebody else. And these people have been the best at it. They have been the best, psychology of all the people in the world. I don't think you can find somebody that have used this psychology like the people in the West. You're free, but you have no responsibility. You own nothing. We don't own a pair of shoestring factory to produce shoestrings. But that was the lie that they tell. And one of the biggest lies that have been told to us, that a man named Jesus, he was the Son of God. He came here to die. For people are going to keep sinning, and that's what they have done. They ain't stopped sinning. But they say he died for all their sin. People that were born 2,000 years ago, and people that are born now, that people tell you that Jesus died for their sin. But we are never being able to tell not one judge in the world, in the United States, that Jesus died for your sin. I thought when you die, you go home and don't wake up. But if I was nailed, somebody took me and put me on a cross and nailed me to it, ain't that murder? Ain't that killing me? But they said Jesus died for your sin. And he didn't want to get on that wood and be nailed there. He said it. He said he didn't come on his own, but God sent me. Then he asked the people, told them that he didn't want to drink from this bitter cup. He ready to die. That's a bitter. Death is bitter. And said, chapters of the Bible, in that Bible, Jesus, the people that were going to send Jesus to death, was a pumpkin pie, and the rest of them was questioning Jesus, saying that Jesus hadn't done nothing. They see no law that he had broke. And yet they went on the court anyway and found the man guilty. Ain't that hypocritical? Went on there and found the man guilty anyway. They said they found him guilty. Now, that don't seem like he was want to die. They found him guilty. And when they found Jesus guilty, they put him to death. Because he was talking to the people, because he was educating the people, because he was showing love for the people, because he was warning the people of the evil they have taken on. And he was telling them to straighten their life up and live the kind of life that God has chosen for them to live. And they killed him. What else you know they did like that? What other people in the world do you know that they did like that? Well, you know, it shouldn't take you long to understand that we're not the only one. What happened to Jesus is the same thing that happened to us.
Sun that sent his rays
do his work, the Son, for the good as well as the bad and ugly and all the other. But for the human being. And that's what Allah said, he made a human being. But then he said that when you leave the nature that God created you in, you start barking and you start doing things that are unnatural, want to kill somebody, want to use somebody. The world is in bad shape right now because of these ungodly businessmen. And the prophet said, when you see that, the ungodly businessmen in action, know then that this world is on the way out. And you know, seeing these images removed. See these images removed. So may Allah continue to bless us with an intelligent, bless us with a sharp mind where we can win this battle that we've been put in. We've been forced into a battle. But we have to fight. And the Imam said the battle line starts in, when you wake up in the morning, the battle line is wrong. Huh? It's because you're in a fight for your life. Huh? But there's somebody trying to wipe us all out with this COVID-19. Somebody. And we know the religions have tried to do that. They tried to wipe us out with AIDS. They tried to wipe us out with herpes, crack cocaine, rum, vodka, gin, reefer, cocaine. They try to wipe us up with all of that. Try to wipe out a whole mess of us with abortion. Tell our women you're too young to have babies. Take that one and you'll get another somewhere down the line. This is what they told and telling our women, young men. Oh man, you're too young to have a baby, man. You all your life in front of you. You got a lot of playing to do. You know, this is what Satan speaks to our young men. And now, Satan has spoke so long, you can't tell who is who. You can't tell men from women, women from men. And Jesus Christ said in the scripture, that day is coming. And that day is here in America and throughout the world. You can't tell who with the hair and the eyebrows and the lips that you had tight clothes on. You can't tell who is who. So we got a job. God didn't free our minds for to sit down and do nothing. He freed our minds so we can share with our people. You know, I mean, I thank Allah for Brother Sujah. I mean, I've been on many battlefields. And we won, I said, 99% of them. I could say 100 because we undefeated. Truth is you can't defeat. A lie will never defeat the truth. And when they come with them lies, the truth is already ready to win. So I'm going to get ready and cut my talk short. And there's anybody else who wants to come into the queue, mash one on your cell phone, your telephone, and we will see you and your a little hand pops up, and then we'll cut your mic on, and then you be ready to talk and share what you have with you tonight. So anybody wants to say anything to Jah, you ready? You ready, match one, and come on into the queue. And because you are one of the cohort workers here, and we want to hear from you. You like the father of this Dawah team. You are the oldest. You have more experience than most of us. So we depend on, we look up to you because you've been on the battlefield a long time. Brother Sujah, you going to match one and come into the queue? Or you going to sit there and drink coffee? But anyway, I'm gonna put an end to that. I'm gonna turn your mic on and bring you in the queue. Yeah, you ain't getting away like that. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Sujah Muhammad. Brother, Sister Karan. Unmute your phone. Assalamu alaikum. Well, look at that. They turned the mic on. Assalamu alaikum. Well, you know, because tomorrow, the Thursday, he goes to the masjid tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Sujah. Can you turn your mic on? I got your mic on. You can step up to the plate and start bringing up something that you talked about today with people you met. Okay, well. Well, every time you get ready to say something, go ahead and say it. Your mic is already on. So, like I said, we thank Allah. We thank Allah for this opportunity. Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Well, they got salam. Well, Sujah, he's getting ready. Well, they got salam.
He getting ready? Okay.
Oh, but he's getting ready, but I do want to say something. I do want to say something.
Sister, you free to speak. Go ahead.
Okay, Bismillah Rahmanir Rahim. What I want to say is that I was reading, and in Florida, they were saying that the governor there, what he wants to do is, I'm trying to see if I say it right. He said what he wants to do is he wants to stop. Well, I understand what he wanted to say. He said he wanted to stop the white folks from feeling guilty about what happened about racism, about what happened in the past, and he said he wants the people to stop making them feel guilty about that, you know, about what happened in the past. But I said to myself, I said, well, because of what their parents have done. But I said to myself, but they still doing it themselves right now. They still doing it. So, but I was reading about that, and they said they want to pass a law. And so that means it's almost like saying they don't want you to write history about the racism that happened, you know, to us, and also the racism that's going on right now. And to me, like you're saying that, I took it like this means they're saying that they don't want, although they could still practice racism, but they don't want to feel guilty about doing it. I mean, just read it. I hope I said it right, but that's what I had read, alhamdulillah. That's why I just said I wanted to share something, you know, just share that, alhamdulillah. Sujah, right, he's right here.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Well, you know the half. You got it.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, they don't. The young folks. You got to read the Bible. You know. And the Bible is saying that. That the next generation had to feel and had to suffer the deeds of their fathers. You know, you can't commit racism and don't expect, you know, that the peoples in the next generation gonna tell it to you, gonna let you know about it, and Caucasian people is benefiting from the racism, like I say, with Allah's name, most gracious and most merciful. I bear witness and testify that there's only one Creator, and I bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the prophet. He's a messenger of Allah, and he's God's servant.
Yes.
So they don't want to
help you. Let me help you. You got the wrong number. Go ahead, Shudra.
Alhamdulillah. So they don't want us to show the racism that our peoples experience. They want to establish a law that we can't speak out against that, or we can't show the peoples, you know, the racism that their grandfathers did and their fathers did. Mm-hmm. That there should be nothing in the curriculum about what their grandfather and their fathers did. They want to make that illegal. They want to do the same thing. They try to establish laws, the homosexual establishing laws that they can charge you with anti-gay. The same thing that the Jews did when they got a law out where I forgot the name of it, but it's dealing with peoples saying things or doing something that Jewish peoples feel that is anti-Jewish. You know, so they're going down the same trail. They're trying to establish the same thing, you know, with racism. You know, but they not gonna get away with that. We're telling the truth. Jesus said, "Know you the truth, and the truth will set you free." They themselves should come out here and talk about it. So we wouldn't have to talk about it. Plus, they are getting paid. They benefit strongly. They haven't said nothing about sharing the wealth. That's coming from the slavery labels that we have given this in the country. They not coming forward and saying that they should get reparation. You know, and the murdering that the Ku Klux Klan did, the bomb dropped on innocent people because they trying to establish businesses and have a life for themselves. They dropped bombs on them. Bombs. You know, they're not speaking out against those things. They're not speaking out against the racism that they done to African-American youth. You know, shooting our young folks in the back and stomping our women. You know, they're not speaking out against that. You know, but they want to establish the law. When you get up and say that, that's what he said, anti-Semitism. That's what the Jew had. Anti-Semitism. You know, but they want to establish a law that we can't talk about racism. In the sense where it'll make them feel uncomfortable. That's what they said. Where they can feel uncomfortable. How do you think we felt when they was hanging us and hanging out?
Still hanging us.
Yeah, and still killing us. We don't want to feel uncomfortable neither. These people here is see, they think that we are ignorant. They done lost their mind. You know, they got all of the real estate. They got the majority of the real estate, and planting all kind of stuff that we don't even need.
Mm-hmm.
They poison the garden. These people are so racist. Only God himself gonna have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that we are dumb enough to allow someone to make a law that would handcuff us or put a zip on our lip. Well, we can't talk about it. If we talk about it, they say that should be a law. It should be unlegal. Illegal, excuse me. I said unlegal. It should be illegal. If a person sit up and talk about racism and in the sense that they don't feel comfortable with.
Well.
What that person don't understand is that their forefathers is devils.
Yeah.
Their forefathers is devils. How you going to tell us not to talk about the devil?
That's right. They probably go to the tower. They don't go for me. I'm a free man.
I know it don't go for me neither, brother. They not going to put no zip on my lip.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. These people is, I just like to read something about this color scheme. Color scheme. Imam Muhammad dealt with color superiority, inferiority. Color superiority, inferiority. The email said, in our textbook now, we're trying to get rid of the racist feelings or prevent racist feelings from coming into the children by showing, he used the word Belladian, and Caucasian children living together in peace, working in peace, and playing in peace. Would that do the job? No. Why? Because that's a picture of some people living together.
That's right.
If the racism is in the public, that child is going to grow up to see that the book is a contradiction and not the reality. They go to school and the nice pictures are there. The child goes back home and hears the mother saying, I hate them hunky. I hate them white pigs. And the little Caucasian child, perhaps hear his old bigot mother saying, what they should do is to send those niggers back to Africa, or enslave them all again. What effect can the book have when the real world is full of racism? No effect. And you can't change people by simply creating a picture of what you want. The way to change it is to teach the people to follow truth, to obey truth, to respect truth and follow it. Teach them to interpret and understand problems of racism as a doctor of anthropology would understand it. The facts that speaks to racism from anthropology, from our sciences, are not above the head of the elementary child. or the high school student. We have to design textbooks that deal with racism in a scientific way. We have to tell children at a very early age the truth about the origin of their color, the texture of their hair, their features, and everything. You might say, well, do we know anything? About that? Yes, we do. Get a book. Get a good book on anthropology. Study physiology. And you will see that a lot of these explanations are given in the books that we have presently. We know that the sun is the painter that paints the color of creation. The sun gives color to the flowers, to the plants, to the animals, even to stone. And the sun has given us our color. Your whole makeup, how you look, your colors, your features, the texture of your hair and your skin, everything is determined by your physical environment. What you eat, what you drink, the climate where you live, the temperature, the dryness of the air, are the humidities in the air, the cold and the heat, the intensity of the sun. All these things form color and shape, plus language. Even your language give shape or give features to your face. If you speak a language that's greater different then you're going to look different even though you have the same climate. Everything else can be the same. But if the language is greatly different, then the people in time will have different features because the habit of using your mouth in a certain way is going to make your mouth grow in a certain way. If you live in a hot climate that is humid, the volume of air, the unit of air, has less oxygen in it than the same unit of air in a cold climate that is not as humid. The humidity takes up the space in the air, and the heat expands the molecules of air and make the volume have less oxygen in it. In a cold climate, air is condensed. And if it's dry, too, there is much more oxygen in the same volume of air. So the people who come from the tropics, you will find come from the humid and hot part of what we call Africa. And the whole tropical belt going around the earth, find those people in that zone, study their features. I have done it. I find that they have broad noses, the Filipinos, men of the Asiatic, Aborigines, and the African broad noses. Occasionally, you'll find a Caucasian with a broad nose. But you will find many of those people living in the hot and humid climate, the tropical belt, with broad noses. Why? They need a big nose. They need opening to get enough air. You are not hot. You need more air, fellow. You are hot. You need more air. The air is expanding, so you need more volume. The humidity is in it. You will need more volume. So your nose in time, don't think it would happen in one lifetime, but over a period of about a half million years, it can turn a razor sharp Caucasian nose into an Isaac Hayes nose. All of this talk. I'm a black man. He's a white man. What are you talking about? What kind of mind do you have? You might be a black man with a boy's mind, or a Caucasian with a boy's mind, right? Or a dog mind. That's nothing to brag about. And if I would take a sharp razor and hit your black skin real fast and hard with it, you would see that you are a white nigger. That's right. If I hit you real hard and fast with a razor, sharp razor, and lay that meat open, you would see white. Is that right? I've seen it happen. Not a razor, but I've seen a black person, more than one. I saw one get a bad wound, a quick wound, and the skin was the meat was white. So he, a white man under that skin. Now look at what the Bible say. Ezekiel has a vision of dry bones in the valley. And there he saw the resurrection take place. And he saw bones coming together. The thigh bone with the hip bone. All those bones coming together to put the person back together. Tell me where in that valley of bone would you find your color superiority if you're a Christian, if you believe that Ezekiel's vision was the right one, that God is going to resurrect bones in that resurrection, we're not going to have any color superiority. I haven't seen any black bones. Bones all have one color. Oh, I got to have my back. Don't take my blackness away from me. We are black and proud. But it's a serious contradiction. And you have to deal with it. We want human development. We want community development. But we can't think deeper than color. So we can't get to the real job of elevating, building up the human being. There's a story that I used to tell, and it's true. I remember a little Belidian girl who was arguing with a white-skinned girl over a bicycle. She wanted to ride the little high yellow white girl bicycle, and the little high yellow wouldn't let her ride it. She was very dark, the little dark girl. The little yellow girl called her black. And she said, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And I was observing. Salah Fadin, Shida, Allah Akbar. I don't get into this here. And I guess I'll finish the next time. I thank Allah. But this is Imam Wahid Muhammad dealing with color scheme, superiority, and inferiority. So inshallah, I'm going to get a chance, inshallah, to get a chance to complete this. Because this is coming from our leader, Imam YG Muhammad. And he's the one that's put us upon black superiority and white superiority. Came to you in peace, going to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, they got to laugh. Well, it looks like those light-skinned people don't come together and make sure that you don't say nothing about them, bring your treatment up, how we mistreated. They don't want to hear.
They don't want to hear.
They're making their children say, I don't want to be white. Because we've been some bad people. When Caucasian people here, what they did to us, and they got any kind of heart at all, and they been told that they was this and that, and found out that they're not this and that. They done stole from us, called us a thief, and they the biggest thief that we ever met in our life. Ain't no more thief, no more greed. They the most greediest people that you ever want to see. Proof of that, they don't want to hear that. They own everything. They want to share. They stole everything from us and then use it against us. So it's going to take Allah to do what Allah say he's going to do. Allah said revenge is his. He is the best revenger. And he's going to deal with the ungodly.
And Allah said he's going to make it known.
He's
going to show them the wrong that they've done. That's in the Quran.
No one gets away with nothing. You reap what you sow. You get exactly what you earn, and whatever you have earned will soon come in time. They still benefit from what they did to us, and still benefit more. Then they are made prison to put us in, teach us how to kill, how to murder, take our good sense away from us. Through the TV, they dress us up through the TV and the movies and the magazine. Then they put our young people over us, rapping, singing us underground, calling us niggas, talking about the women, calling the women all kind of unnatural names. And you think we ain't gonna say nothing about that?
Like what?
They got they kind of picking mine. The Jews hollering six million. Let bring it to the forefront. They killed 100 million of us.
Yes, sir.
How many times six go into 100?
Wow.
So they got a nerve. That was saying, "D, take the light off itself and put it on somebody else." Well, he hides, but he be the guilty party. So we got to work. We got to go to work. We got to go to work. Shoot, I mean, when you say what you had to say, I would like to tell 100 brothers, see how many are alive to do something about that. How many get it? Said it. That we can't let that happen.
Yeah, they're trying to make a law out of that.
Then these imams, all they want to do is teach you how to pray. Why? I'm going to see how many of them going to get interested in that and mention that to the believers. But all we had to do is cut our money source out to them. Stop going into their store. I got to give Mr. Jackson, I said this about Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson, he shut the Coca-Cola company almost pretty much down. And that come about because the bus broke out when he said that we ain't going to buy no more Coca-Colas. Boy, Coca-Cola got together and give him a fat check. That's what I heard. Give him a fat check. Jesse Jackson. And he thought about boycotting Coca no more. Paid him. Because he was hurting them. People listened to Jesse. They went by no Coca-Colas in Chi-Town and all around there. So that's all we had to do. The ungodly businessman get his keep his ways of doing things through the money that we gave him. We paid them to mistreat us in so many words. But we know that people coming on this show and they listen to us, and they trying to see how they can block us. From stop us from doing what we know that Satan always got his ear listening.
Oh, yeah. We know that.
Yeah. And then we've been somewhat like a fool, not trying to hide anything, but put everything out in the open. So that might be a mistake. But we believe that Allah is protecting this, what we're doing now.
Oh, yeah.
We believe there is. Because these people not following their constitution. That's the main thing they're ignoring, their constitution. And don't tell me that we got an armed overseas fight to protect the Constitution again. That's a lie. Huh? The Constitution says you're supposed to protect the citizens first. But they're trying to say we ain't citizens. That's why a Jew can come here and go and come and vote and nobody going to try to take that away from him. A German, Italian, all these people can come here and get the right to vote, and you got to pass law. You got to beg them to vote. So they don't come together. The evil ones don't come together, and they trying to stand firm on what they need to do. They are saying this, like that Caucasian lady said on the internet, they should never have let us go. They should have kept us slaves forever. That's what the Caucasian lady said. And this is how some of them look at us, and we know why, because the image of God is looking like them. So they don't care what you tell them about how it look. That's the only God they going to accept anyway. One look like them. They don't care what you say about God loves us all. They don't care about that. They only care about the money they able to put in the bank that they get from us. Because the money stays in the imam said that the money stays in the Jewish community 60, 70 times, go around 60, 70 times, and only go down one time or two times in our neighborhood, and it's gone. Everybody else hold that money for a while before they let it go. We the only, who made us like that? Who done us like the Christian religion? Not all of it, but the Christian religion is keep. It's not a religion of God. It's a pagan religion because it's holding idols and images up. It's saying God is a man, and then our people, because we've been put down so long and treated so wrongly, we think that is true about that image is on us. So that's why it's so hard for us to come up as a people, because our people have been so inferiority, and you can look at the hair, the earrings, tattoo. Now they get tattoos and they get that come from inferiority. Dennis Rodman who played for the Pistons. He thought he was the ugly thing in the world and tried and worked hard to get more uglier. Three different color hair, tattoo going all out his nose. He was inferior. But he had money. Had millions of dollars, but he act inferior. So we know what inferiority do. We know what a lie do. We told that God came in our image, but we was God. We had the big head, so we know what that lie do. We know how good that lie made us feel. White man, the devil, and you were black God. We know how that feel. Huh? You be looking at them like they the most nasty thing in the world. We know how that other side of racism doing. So we see what they have done, and we're trying to get rid of it. We just reached the top of the hour. We pray that Allah bless us to continue to grow and bring the message to the people. Let's try to get more people. I'm probably sure I've got a lot of people to come on this show, and very few of them showed up. female and female. And I don't know why, but our people are slow to move on what is good. Unless one of them is telling us, to asking us to do that. And I wonder what kind of world we would have. We had some Caucasians standing up and saying, one God and they ain't white, and Jesus didn't die. We had some Caucasians saying that you'll see a different world. Like time and time, Akil said, if I was a Caucasian man out here teaching, you couldn't get a car up through here. They would have to bring the police out here to direct traffic, because everybody said Jesus is out there teaching today. If I was a Caucasian, that's what he said. And the women would be shouting, oh, Jesus, Jesus. Huh? But that's how messed up we are. He would point to what messed us up. And what really messed up, we ain't got nothing to give our children to inherit. We own no businesses. We don't only own a little skating ring. Right now, they were talking about on the internet when the young boy got killed in Ferguson, the people that for Black Lives, they was trying to make a nice skating ring for the children to come enjoy themselves and also socialize. A nice skating ring where they're safe and where they have security over that skating ring. But that's what we need. We need our people are waiting on us, the women waiting on us to provide some security for the children. And a good thing that we all can do, get so many young people up and teach them, and let their mother know that we ain't a pedophile. We are going to teach them how to be young men. We're going to get them to do chores, what men do, take out the trash, pick up paper, be kind to the senior citizens, don't be cussing all day long, some of them made our people think that they are two extra feet tall by cursing, using bad language. So we got a job, and Allah has never gave anybody a righteous job to do that they didn't complete that job. Little David is a sign of that. He went to the Philistine, was talking about his God, talking about the creator of the creation, and disrespecting the creation of creation. And little David got went against the big Philistine, was bigger and had better weapons he had, and the only thing he had was a slingshot. But he brought that big Philistine down by picking up one smooth stone. We know stone represents principle. One smooth principle that there is no God but one God. And we know we can add to Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Prophet. We had all of that. But he brought him down. So we got what it takes to bring this. I'm not going to pay no attention. I'm going to talk. I talk about homosexual, and I tell the people before I started, when they take that out the Bible, because they already changed the Bible 100 times, why don't they take that out of there? That God said a man shouldn't lay with man or woman. Why don't they take it out? Why don't the preachers preach about it? Why don't they mention that two women cannot produce a baby and two men cannot produce a baby? And the Bible said populate the earth. How are you going to populate the earth when two men or two women get together? It's possible. So their world is coming to an end. Their family tree is over with. So all we got to do is open some business. We got enough educated people that been trained in the field of the Caucasian man. He allowed so many of us to go to college, and get a little this knowledge here and that knowledge here. And all we got to do is come together, put it all together. We can have us a new world to live in. But we got to have the food. We got to have the best of the food. We got to control our neighborhoods and our community and own the our own mayors and comfort hall where we have our own mayor and our own politician that's truly working in our better half, working for us, and they fail to do that, we can fire them. Hmm? Fire them when they're not just taking money and not doing work. We get rid of them. Caucasian people, they do the same thing. If somebody steals some money, they'll go and talk to them, but let them keep stealing the money. The Jews, look how much money that the Jews got ripped off from because they trusted a Jew. So it ain't your title that goes wrong, it's your thinking. Huh? It's your thinking going wrong. So we got a job to do, and God ain't going to give us a job that we can't do. Now, we got disbelievers around us, whispering. Then we got to slow them down, leave them alone, move on. And something, I had to put some heat on one or two of them. But whatever it takes, if we going to survive, we have to do what men do. And men will fight to keep their good life and all that. And if somebody said that, the army's over there fighting to keep the other people good life and all that. I believe that. But they ain't fighting for our freedom. They ain't protecting us. So I see that. And I'm not going to sit there nobody no more lie that army and the Navy is protecting us. What a great job they're doing. They're not fighting for my freedom. They're not fighting for the Constitution no more. If they is, it's only for a few of them and not us. So that's what I'm going to focus on, telling the people the truth. And then they can take it any way they want to. They can take it or leave it. But that'll be on them. That's what Allah said to the prophet. You not to tend to the fair, but tell the people the truth and make it that's as clear as possible. And that's the only thing you got the right to do. You got the right to change nobody. Can't make nobody do anything. Let's tell them the truth. And God said he going to do the rest. He might want them, might not want them. But it'll be God, it'll be the Allah charge. So I don't see nobody else in the queue. Brother Suja, I see some people that ain't turned their mic on. So I'm bringing you back and turn this mic back over to you. You want to bring your Sister Karan back up because that kind of news, when a woman see it, boy, it's bold to bring out the man in the men. Because, you know, we can't live like that without telling the truth. That's like going back to be a communist. We coming into communists. We're not coming into freedom, justice, and equality. We coming into the communist way. They hear you talking about something, and they come and lock you up. What kind of people would think about doing that? Well, no other kind of people but the devil. So I'm here to fight the devil. So if I go to jail or lose my life standing on truth, then so be it. Because I'm here to serve Allah, and Allah don't like no oppression coming from no. He said, slaughter is better than being oppressed. And therefore, I believe that. I believe there's a world after this world. And the one who is being the oppressor, he going to see that world. He coming to that world. Nobody leave this world without getting the creator of this creation judgment. God said that. So anyway, Suja, Brother Suja, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lamb.
Yes, sir. You got a steering wheel for a while. You got it.
I'm doing wrong. With a lot of names, most gracious, the most merciful. We thank Allah. We pray that Allah bless us with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And we pray that Allah bless those believers that came before us, the paradise that was promised to them. And we pray that we stay right on their heels. And there's so much knowledge. You know, Imam was speaking of the three motivations. The three sons of Noah are not really flesh and blood sons. They represent the three kinds of motivation that the human being can come into that dominates and give form to his whole life. He evolves up through three levels of motivation. The first is hunger for physical things. The little child wants to touch something physical. Want to see something physical. Want to taste something physical. The little child is just hungry to eat up the physical environment when it comes here. But after a while, the mind begins to mature, and the little child is not hungry just for physical form. The little child wants to know the nature of physical form. And number two, he motivated to seek knowledge. He wanted to know. And on the third level, his spiritual aspiration evolved. Imam was reading things. Imam Waqi Muhammad, and he saw things because of his study. And the things that he saw, he was able to put it in a language and bring it to us. I know in his thinking that he knew what it did for him, and he wanted to do the same thing for us. And he wrote these ideas down, and he dealt with nature over form. You know, the definition for nature for example you said give me tell me the nature of that thing. What is the nature of water? What is the nature of a rock? What is the nature of a thing? The nature of a thing is the true identity of a thing. The nature of it. And he was telling us about nature over form. He said, in the clear focus that religion provides for us, We see the importance of nature over form. Many people in religion read the allegorical or symbolic language of scripture, and they can't see beneath the surface to read the real message that is in the symbolism or the allegory. They come to the conclusion that religion is telling us how the sun was put in the sky, how the moon was put in the sky, how the stars was put in the sky, how fish were put in the water, how trees and other life sprung up from the physical earth. But actually, God is saying to us with scriptures and the great prophets made this knowledge available to us that the world is only a sign and a signal that I have made to direct you in your growth. Now remember, the sign is not the real thing. When you read a sign, it's directing you to the real thing. So don't take the sign as the real thing, as the real meaning. All right. As I place the sun that rise up from the horizon at dawn, breaking the night and giving day. I also have placed a sun in your nature and in your structure, the light of intelligence. Keep up with it. You fall asleep and darkness come over you at night. But you awake because I have designed you that way. You awake and open your eyes, and the light of intelligence begin to operate. It operates until you get tired. It began to set, and you lie down and sleep again. These light are descriptors of the kind of leaders we have on this earth. Some are like the sun. They rise. They cause a lot of activity. They make little birds jump up out of their nests. They bring the animals out chirping and making a lot of noise. They give warmth in the sun like the sun does and show us all the physical objects. But then there are some that are like the moon. They seem to be lesser in light, but their light penetrates the darkness that the sun has left on us. And then we have some that are like the stars. They're very far away, and they seem small to us. But in reality, most of the stars that we think to be small are bigger than our moon, bigger than our earth, and many of them bigger than our sun. The stars. We have people like that who are so far away from the foolishness we are involved in that we think them to be very small. But in reality, they are bigger than the thing that we are idolizing and admiring. Almighty God, he is the one that created us. And Almighty God is the one to inspire us. And Almighty God is the one to reveal the hidden secrets of the world and of our own life that had been done by Almighty God through his great prophets, from Abraham to Muhammad. Genesis tells us of the beginning of creation in these words: in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. And darkness covered the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he hung a great light in the heavens to rule the day, and a lesser light to rule the night. And he hung the stars also. Now, let's look at the Quran to see how the Quran treats the same subject, to see how Almighty God revealed to a later prophet there was too complete the message of religion for the total development of the individual and the society is read. Read in the name of your God and evolve and sustainer who created the human being from a clot of blood. Here we are getting the same message, but it is brought to us clear. The light is coming on to stay. God says, read, and your Lord is most bountiful, who taught the man, the human being, the use of the pen. So here Almighty God has revealed it to Prophet Muhammad, the real meaning of the Genesis. Genesis means the beginning. The growth of intelligence is the answer to the riddle. The rising of the sun, the hanging of the moon, and the placing of stars in the heaven. As a result, fish come in the water. Life grows all over the land. People began to populate. God is telling us that in order for us to have a healthy, beautiful, full life on earth, we must have intelligent life first. So the Holy Quran doesn't leave us in doubt. The first verse that came to Prophet Muhammad said, read in the name of your God in it, evolver and sustainer, who created man from a small clot of blood. Read, and your Lord is most bountiful, who taught man the use of the pen. And for those who doubt that God is speaking to the need for the intelligence to grow, let us go again to the same term, create, in the Quran. God says, create yourselves. God challenges us to create ourselves. God said, create yourselves with the character building block revealed to you by God. Create yourself in the character image of God. This is character building. One speaking directly to intelligent growth, and the other speaking to character building. How can you build intelligent character if you don't have any good sense? A foolish people cannot build intelligent character. They have to be ordered about. Think about it. Just read it again. A foolish people cannot build intelligent character. They have to be ordered about, disciplined, and forced to conform to good manners by adult people. Can we remain children forever on this earth? Sallallahu Kadeem. Surely Allah speak the mighty and mighty truth. I asked that question. We was in a Talim. You know, you can ask questions. And I asked the imam. And this was a imam, I think, North Carolina. I say, we as Muslims, do we ever grow up? Do we ever come to a point that we become an adult? Or do we just stay children? You know, he talked that whole day, and he never did give me an answer. He kept trying to. All he had to say that we become a dust. But he never did say that. He kept it right there where I had to be taught. He never said that you become you come up to the point where you have the freedom to make your own decision. He never came to that point. So, brothers and sisters, Imam Wabidi Muhammad tell us not a whole lot, but I think we should listen careful to him and try to apply those ideas. Try to apply them. The more we apply wisdom and knowledge, the better understanding Allah gonna bless us with. He came to you in peace, he's gonna leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, I got salam. Thank you, Brother Suja.
Well, thank you, Brother Salam.
So, that's right. Well, what we're doing tonight, we're talking. And we're talking to work upon something. Building a foundation. Got to start with brick. Start with a foundation. You got to level that foundation out. So that's what we're building on. We're building on the foundation that Allah going to support us. Allah going to carry us. And Allah going to protect us on this journey. We're asking Allah to please give us 40 more years. We want to see some kind of completion. We want to see some of these structures that we talk about. We just ain't talking. We're trying to get others interested. I guess we got to lay the first brick or something. But whatever got to be done, Allah is going to lead us to do the right thing. So we have another brother in the queue. I wish he would match one. And he will match one. And once he matched one, we're going to turn this mic on. We don't like to turn the mic on if they don't match one. So we're asking all the co-host workers and the ones that work here, like myself and Suja, Brother Ibrahim and Brother Muhammad, match one as you come into the queue, and we're gonna turn your mic on sooner or later anyway. But we don't want you to turn your mic on and you don't want that, but we want you to turn your mic on. You always decline to talk, but you are a part of this Block Talk radio station. So I give you, without any more delay, Brother Imam Ibrahim from Atlanta, Georgia, way through LaGrange, Georgia, Brother Ibrahim Abdullah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Yes, sir. We're on the journey. So you're on that journey. So you got it, my good brother.
That's right.
You got it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. I seek protection from Allah from that which makes man and woman forget. And we know that's the shaitan. But Allah say, after you recollect, make haste to him. That's where he'll forgive you. Forgetting him. You know, it's a shame that we get in a situation and we should get them on Allah. That's something. And I was trying to tell the person one time, see, you can't, it's like when you have relationship with your wife have a relationship with their husband, you know, when they have a deep feeling for each other and they want to mate with each other, they do it in Allah's name. You can't be a Muslim out there fornicating and adulterating and use Allah's name. Because what you do there, even Muhammad said, when you mention Allah's name in anything, Allah become a part of it. That's what you have to watch out for. So only been willing to testify that nothing is deserving to worship except Allah alone, who has no partners. He don't need any help. It is really, really immature to think that God created this whole universe, and then he got weak at the end, and then got to have a child. Now, how that sound? All the things in this universe, many things that we would never see in our lifetime that's in this universe, many things that will be discovered after we are gone, hundreds of years after we are gone. Now, the Lord that we worship says, sleep nor slumber seizes him. The only one to go to sleep is us. If sleep and slumber don't seize him, then why did he take a break and have a child now? He mean he created all this. He would need no woman. Like Big Brother Suja said yesterday, he created Adam without a mother and a father. That's how great he is. And then Mary had Esau without a man. That ain't hard to think on. That's how powerful your Lord is. That's what he's showing us, how powerful he is. But Shaitan got your mind through kindergarten mentality talk and ideas, and you stuck. That's why Muhammad, may the peace and blessings be upon him, had to come with the final revelation, the Quran, letting us know that Allah told him to put that book in our hands. Yeah, in the spirit, he told him to put that book in our hands. I ain't talking about them back then. I'm talking about us now. Also, Muhammad knew by Allah that we would be chosen, that we would be chosen to do this work. And guess who's going to do the work? It was Prophet Muhammad's brothers that was going to do this work. Well, can I prove that? Yes. Prophet Muhammad was sitting with his Sahaba. And they said, yeah, Rasulullah, we your brothers and we want to help you. And he stopped. He said, oh, Yaki, you are my companions. My brothers will come later. That's us. That's what I'm saying. We are chosen by the Lord of all the worlds. Not a world, any world you can imagine, Allah is the Lord of it. So why do we have to hesitate when we got the book, the final revelation, that was sent down through Muhammad all the way to us? Allah meant for it to get into our hands. Why? Because he knew when that book reached our hands and we started reading and crying and begging Allah to bless us to understand, so we can apply with his hikmah, with his wisdom, he know we will be unstoppable. That's why Allah sent it to us. That's why he knew when he gave it to us that we'd be the one to stand up against the enemy. He know that we will give Satan so much hell that he'll start crying. Because that's the mission we on. We taking this mission very seriously. Like Imam Muhammad said, Suja was there. They was in the masjid. And Imam Muhammad came out, everybody sitting on the floor, waiting patiently for him to bring them a message. He said, you know, y'all look like little children out there, little kindergartens. But there's going to come a time where y'all going to grow up and be ready for this mission. Now, look what he was looking at. This is back in 76. Look what he was looking at. Look what we at now. He seen us then as little children sitting under his tutorship. And he said, but there's going to come a time when you're going to raise up to be men and women. And we're going to do what? We're going to shake up the world. And now, that's what we're doing. So let's look at it. How are we shaking up the world? I don't want nobody to get through off when we say that. I'm going to show you where the world is. I'll show you in three phases. We come to shake up the world. Why do you think Allah hates divorce? He permits it, but why do you think he hates it? Because it shakes the very foundation of Allah. It shakes his throne. right? And he says, shake your throne. Where's the throne at? It's your in your mind. Look at the changes you go through mentally, psychologically, when you're getting ready to depart in the divorce. Look what you go through. You're all shook up. You have no balance. You're off. Now, so if we shake up the world, what world are we shaking up? We're shaking up the minds that this other world had intervened and put in your world. And we come to knock all that falsehood down that has blocked you, that has crushed you, that have made you weep nights and days. We come to free your mind. That's what free don't mean, a free mind, a free thinker. We are free thinkers. And our job is to check up the world. We didn't come to play in this world. We don't have our playtime. Our playtime is over. And we was talking earlier today, me and my big brother Sujan Akbar, and last night I was saying, we got to let the people know when Allah said, make no engraved images. See, it just ain't saying, don't make no images of me from the heaven above or the earth beneath. He said, make no engraved images of me from the heaven above or earth beneath. Now, what are we talking about? A grave image is something that you take a tool or a hammer or a knife and you carve out. You carve an image out of it. Huh? And then you place it on another piece of object. Then you stick it up on the wall. You know what I'm talking about. That's an engraved image. Now, if you just say, worship no image, what image are you talking about? An image could be anything. If I say car, a car pop up in your mind. I say mama, your mama face pop up in your mind. But we're talking about the grave images is what got the people in the graveyard. That engraved image was created to put you in the graveyard. So now you're in the graveyard and don't know how to get out. You should be very thankful that Allah have people on this planet that love their people, love the human being, period, to take the challenge up and say, come on. We're going to try to not save you. We're going to try to help you understand to save yourself. It's not our job to save you. Our job is only to give you a message and make it plain. That's all we charge with, to make the message plain. Now, we'll be charged for that. But you'll be charged for hearing and not acting on it. See, when you come into knowledge, you're not held accountable for the things you don't know. You only have accountable of the things that you know. So when you start hearing us talk and you gain the knowledge every day on what we're saying and you don't act on it, you got a problem. And you better straighten that problem out before you meet your Lord, because he's going to question you. Why didn't you take the advice of my servant? Why? You can't stand up and say, and you can't make no lie. If God already know what you're thinking, how you going to lie? When I leave here and when Allah question me, I'm going to say, Allah, you already know everything I'm going to do. I can't say nothing, Lord. How you going to say something? He already know what you done did. No, so we have to be very, very careful, but we are sincere with the mission that our Lord has placed us on. And we are so grateful to Allah to bless us to be able, with the leadership of Prophet Muhammad, down to the top of Imam Ward D. Muhammad, to be the one, the champion in this spirit that Allah sent through his prophets, always bound to Imam Muhammad and to us. We're grateful to Allah to bless us, be the one to help in this mission. We're going down in history. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. My brother told me to say, you know, we're going to name the masjid as the Umar ibn Khattab. I said, okay. Okay, then what? I said, wait a minute. Don't you think about that for a minute. Look how many brothers and sisters in our community, since El Islam came to us, I'm talking about workers, good characters, good spirit. Look how many of them have passed on. Why aren't they names on the building? These brothers you talk about are already written in history. They have made their mark. So why can't we put our brothers and sisters' name on a masjid to show the world that there was a people back here 1,000 years ago, 400 years ago, 200 years ago that made a mark in society? And they named these places of worship after them. That's how we have to connect this religion, and that's how we have to think. You want to? You say you're free? Then what responsibility you got? Freedom comes with responsibility. Okay, yeah, you free, and you got responsibility to act a fool. You got responsibility to do all that, but you're going to pay for it. We're trying to help you save yourself. But we're not going to force you. You can put cotton in your ear as far as I'm concerned, but the cotton you put in your ear, we can still penetrate that. You still be tossing in your sleep from what we were seeing 3 hours ago when you take the cotton out your ears. I'm going to hold back some now, be right here, and let my brother come back on, or my sister, my big brother still here. But just think on what we said. And we always say to you, we say to you what Jesus said to his disciples. What did he say to them when he came among them? He said, peace be upon you. Peace be upon you in Arabic is assalamu alaikum. We said what he said. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Assalamu alaikum. Big bro. Big bro. Akbar.
Hey, you ain't through yet, is it? You through?
Yeah, huh? I pulled back a little bit. It's 8:41. I pulled back there. Somebody else come in. If they got a few minutes, I ain't going nowhere.
Well, ain't nobody else got their hand up, so... You were doing great, man. I don't know. Okay, then, well, you got to, we got to 15, 16, 18. So you and Suja come on in together and let's share stories or tell the people about something, Imam, what y'all seen and how he did things. Brother, you and Suja can talk it out. Brother Suja.
Yes, sir.
I called him earlier
before I called you and he didn't say nothing. Is the mic still on?
Yeah, he's still there. Suja. Well, me and you till he come back.
Well,
his mic is still on. Suja.
Well, yes, sir. I do know that Allah has blessed us through the leadership of Imam Muhammad to be men. He raises us from being boys and girls to be men and women now. And the men and women that he raised up, the men and women he raised up is the men and women that's going to shake this world up. We just ask Allah to give us the time, continue to give us the wisdom and give us the understanding how to apply every principle of Islam in this world while we're here. Give us the strength of Allah. Don't make us weak in no step that we take. Bless us, Allah, to think from your mind, to see through your eye, to hear through your ears, to lay hold with your hand, to walk with your limbs, Allah. That's Allah walking with you. That's how Allah walks with his servant. He become his servant's eyes that he see with, his mouth that he speak with, his leg that he walk with, his hand that he lay hold with, his mind that he think with. He take you over, and he move you in the position he want you to move in. And so you should have no hesitation. That's the kind of mind that Allah raised up and favored among us in the name of W.D. Muhammad and sent him to us. To do what? To make us a duplicate. To make us a duplicate of what he was. Make us a duplicate of what he raised up, what he favored. When Allah favored Imam Muhammad, he raised him up so he can make us a duplicate.
Down,
The men and women ain't no stopping us now. The name of this record is Kiss the Spirit. It's contagious. Ain't no stopping us now. We don't even know what stop means. Only thing we know is go forward.
That's
we
right.
go forward in a battle. And we're heavily we equipped it with hikmah, right? Wisdom, am, knowledge, and understanding from our Lord
right.
to handle this world here. See, we got something to handle this world here. Nobody outside of us got anything to handle this world with like we're going to handle it.
Yeah.
We're going to handle it the way Allah wants us to handle it.
That's right. That's all the way
and
we got
to handle it. That's right.
Suja, you there? Suja. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, well. I got somebody else in the queue, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, brother. Yeah, I don't know where you've been lying there, but you're here. So come
I just
on,
came. I just came on. I just came on, and I thought I was gonna get to enjoy the listening to y'all for once, inshallah. You know.
You got to stand up. We ain't got no chair for you. So you got to stand up. You
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you got it.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to glorify Allah, you know, for giving us the opportunity to learn what it takes to establish Deen al-Islam, community life, a world of halal, a life, etc. And since this is the business hour, it takes that area of service to a lot that they call business, you know. And as we always said before, when you become a servant of law, your mind becomes in constant submission and readiness to how to serve Allah and serve what he wants us to serve from this position as a servant. How to serve those who have less and how to help them get at least what is equal. And if Allah, by Allah's permission, if they can get more, inshallah, they will reciprocate by spending in the way of Allah to help those who have less again and help them establish this wonderful recitation of growing businesses after businesses after businesses after businesses with the blessing that Allah SWT gives us who have and who become his servants. So when we serve the people, Allah said it's the best. You are the best, one of the best servants when you do that. When you generate what it really takes in this world here is the truth and clarity and providing for life in the area that Allah created us in. And the things that we have set up to make the vision of what it takes to live the life that Allah SWT has created us in is a process also. We know that we bear witness that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. We established the five prayers through Allah's help, and we established the articles of faith through Allah's help and guidance, and we established the basic things of manners and wanting to love for yourself what you love for others, what you love for yourself. And then you get married, half of your deen. And then from there you get the resources of creation to spend and establish a life that is permitted by Almighty God, a law that we call halal. You know, and in our 21st development, 2022 development, you know, we know money has become a root that has produced many kind of things out of the earth. And what we call money or the value system that we establish, the economics that we establish, generates the uses of these resources in an equitable way to where all of us can have the good life of the Quran here on this earth. So establishing businesses to generate these values of exchange and fairness, prosperity, and giving one the opportunity to share in developing what comes out of the earth, out of the intellect and out of the hard work of the human body, so that we can live this good life of the Quran as our open enemy is trying his best to seduce and bring everything, and especially the human being, down to the most bare, private, poor, poverty level that he can in this reality. So he tries to emulate businesses in a way that where no one is ever satisfied, because there's always some short, there's always some abuse, stealing, and other different languages we have learned over time that man has done when you go in their kind of business, where Shaitan keeps you always dissatisfied in the value that never comes up right. So establishing halal businesses where everything is based upon the science of mathematics, a great, great creation that Allah has given us to help us basically almost do everything and measure it, and it's and develop its growth and value it and evaluate it according to where that Allah SWT wants us to do, to show that we want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves, be it a good home, good food, et cetera, et cetera. So when we take this opportunity to spend our focus and all that Allah that he gives us, our creation and everything in creation, you know, to establish the life that he has created for us to manage for the benefit of all creation. You know, we just had to keep our eye on the opposition of it and those who fall upon each of this system of greed, not being just and fair, always being selfish, etc., is the competition that Allah gives us to reflect what our duty is when we get this opportunity to establish the halal life, the business life, the halal intellect, the halal emotions, etc. So we get down to it in this language is how to be fair and just, and remember that everything comes from Allah, so no one has no reason to try to be so selfish about something that ain't even theirs. And we only hear a short time, like they always say, and we remind each other that you can't take it with you, so it's a shame to lose your faith. Like Allah said, sell your faith for a miserable price. Sell your family out for a miserable price. Sell your community out for a miserable price. And most of all, like Allah says in the beginning of that countdown, sell your faith for a miserable price for this world out here. You know, to take what is allowed and bargain it all for something that is a ram don't make no sense. But that's what we do in this world. So we have a easy job, but it's a tough job because we have to also learn how to depend upon Allah to get this victory. And that's the biggest step of the stone that we have, is to take our free will, you know, and be satisfied with the value system that Almighty God Allah has given us, even including the saying they call money. We can't take money that has been spent for corruption, to bring out corruption, to cause oppression, etc. That ain't our share of the dunya we want. So it's very clear that there's plenty of business out there. Plenty. There's more halal businesses out there than it is around. But we have to take this experience that we have of walking out of this haram society or value system that Allah prevented us to walk out, so we know how not to let anything turn us away from the halal life that He created us for us to have in this test that we're going through. You know, there's plenty out there. When we really go down the checkoff sheet to see how many products are out there that are halal, how many things that we can do with our hands, with our intelligence, you know, with our unity, to bring about the life that is excellent on this earth. Haram is a very, very small reality. It just seems big now because on our way out of it, if we ain't already out of it, and some of us are still way, way deep in it, waiting on the halal economy, the halal structuring and building from what comes out of this earth, so that they can have a better focus on how to get to it if they want to. Only if they want to. But believe me, there's plenty of money out there. Plenty of what we call money out there that's halal. Because Allah, this is His creation. This is His earth. This is His whatever we're going through. And for us to let Shaitan or the people of Shaitan and the Shaitanic things that we ponder about in our own self make us think that there's more wrong and there's more haram out here than halal, to where we think that we have to compromise what Allah has created for the purpose of serving us and helping us enjoy this trial and tribulation of testing to see if we're able to know truth from falsehood. Plenty of money out there. There's not an idea that any creature, including Shaitan or the people he have under his influence, this is all they're illusion to make us think that they really are dominating the reality of everybody on this earth. It's just a little bit hit there and a little bit there and a little bit there. But the way he got it spread it out and the way that he have conditioned us, we think that there's more haram money out there, haram marriages, haram doing this and doing that than it is that it's allowed. And Allah has, you know, created nothing but good. He said all the bad comes from the human being, not from Him. So we have to first convince ourselves that we can make it and be satisfied and live the best of life on this earth with what Allah has given those who believe. Don't we know how to purify the earth like we're trying to do now and grow, halal fruits and vegetables? Aren't we getting the faith down to where we're strong enough to understand that we don't have to have haram water? We can purify the water again. Everything we knew, we can set it back into its mode of prayer, its nature. And you'll see that since Shaitan don't even live here in this reality, it might help those who are lost wake up, except for those who Allah had already created for the purpose of the fire and giving Shaitan his respite. And it's a free will thing. You know, it's a free will thing. So if he talks us into freely going to hell with him, then Allah has already designated who that's going to be and what causes the person to be there. And if you get on that path, that's where you're at. You can't even get off of it except with Allah's permission. And many people are going to hell. It could even be us. Because only Allah know who is going to the fire and who's going to the Jannah. You know. But we have to just understand that there's this earth was given to the believers. Not Shaitan and whoever he gets to go along with his program. But to the believers. You know. All we gotta do is just take it back in a way to where other human beings who we know are some kind of way. Because there's very few of them, too, who's doing this willingly, following the Shaitan. There's very few of them. Most everybody's under some kind of illusion or false or just straight-up lie that they live in that we haven't woke them up from since we already here. We've been on this earth now for about a little over 1,400-some years. And that's how long that the truth has been, you know, getting propagated, as Prophet Isa said. When they come, when he come, when the comforter come, and those who follow him, they will start to distribute the whole truth, and that will set everybody free who wants to be free. But again, we want to make sure there's plenty of money out there, but we have to understand that the reason why it's hard to get is because we still are falling victim to the schemes of Shaitan in thinking that we need to do business his way. It can never be clear and straight up, fair, for the benefit of the seller, as it is for the buyer, as it is for the maker, as it for the one who brings and exchange those goods back and forth. Everybody can live good on this earth. It is meant to carry as many righteous people as Allah blessed to reproduce himself on it. And as people wake up and repent to Almighty God Allah, the people who are underneath of Satan's illusion will shrink even smaller. And the haram illusion that's on the earth will slowly disappear, you know, and does not bother those who are doing things in the halal way. And we have to get out here and explain to people halal, the clarity of that. It only means that you're living the life that Allah permitted, the creator of all life, the creator of everything we see and don't see and everything we think, you know, is permitted by Allah. That's the kind of life we're trying to live. We're not trying to let the whispers of the Shaitan or those who are under his influence dictate to us what is already clear by bringing us into the smoke and illusion and differences and all that kind of stuff. So when we start to take on this responsibility of establishing and receiving our inheritance of this earth that was given to us through our fathers and ancestors and descendants, etc., by Allah's permission, who turned to Allah for with their dua for us to be and get our inheritance back, then that's what we have to strive for. But there's plenty of money out there, and slowly but surely, we'll see that the money that we want, there's no room or time to give attention to anyone who want to go after it any other way than the way that Allah has prescribed for us to go after it. And I think those who read more of business in the books of halal and haram, when we look in the Quran and see what Allah says about how to take care of business and establish the wealth and the life on earth that he has put here for us, how to cherish the resources, not how to use them up in vanity, and extravagance, et cetera, and we get the proper balance, you know, we'll see the good life of the Quran that Allah has prescribed for the human family. And we see that that Prophet Muhammad exemplified it. He had so much, according to our small looking at things, but once he became the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's when he really became rich. And in the end, look what Allah has given him. Eternal life, as long as Allah wants life on this reality that we live in. Prophet Muhammad will be known until that time. You know, and those of us who follow his example will be rich until that time. We'll be the most intelligent until that time. We'll be the most happy until that time. So we got a lot to be so thankful for if we start to take care of business. And like I said, again, one of the definitions of business is the human mind that spends all its submission and on how to please Allah and please the people that he or she are around who believe as they believe that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. That is what we're supposed to do when we get the resources out of the earth, that they got all kinds of names for it, money, gold, all this divisional, separational value system. When we know when it comes down to it, they're all called resources. You know, resources. If you need iron to make buildings, it's a resource that comes out of the earth. You know, if gold is a better piece of metal to make something with, you know, that don't give it no special value. It just gives a better endurance for once you discover the properties between the difference between iron and aluminum. You find out which one is best to be used. You construct what we need for whatever reason and put this value system in its right place. You know, all this division and breaking down this and breaking down that, you know, when we learn the nature